141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the end of the season edges ever closer, Derek McInnes, Tony Docherty and John McGlynn make up the shortlist for Manager of the Year. James Tavernier shrugging off Saudi Arabia's speculation to focus on ending the season on a high. And Lawrence Shanklin says his Hearts contract talks can wait until the end of the season. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel. It is all happening. That's it. We're on the official home straight. The post-split fixtures have started. Awards are getting given out. Everybody is feeling the tension in the title race. What's not to like?
It's really an exciting part of the season. It's a great part of the season for players, supporters, guys like ourselves. Plenty to talk about. You look at five massive games coming up. I know four in the league. One, obviously, Scottish Cup final. Everybody will be looking forward to that. But just now, it's all about that league campaign. Rangers set the bar off at the weekend. Celtic followed it. I said from day one, the minute split come out, and I'll stick by it, I think it'll all go down to Celtic Park, because I think Rangers and Celtic respectively will win their next two game, their next game, Kilmarnock and Hearts.
So the weekend wasn't enough to change your mind that no, they might drop points?
Look, I never said it was going to be easy, Gordon. Not in a million years, because the pressure is on. You've got to take everything into account that you're going to a difficult place. You're playing the top five teams. So you're going to St Mirren, terrific season. Dundee, Tony Dock's in for Manager of the Year, tells you, terrific season. So it's never going to be easy. But I just look at those two games that Celtic and Rangers both have got. They've got over the first hurdle away from home. You've got to make them firm favourites, and it will be difficult. Kilmarnock and Hearts, and then we're down for a showpiece.
And it's awards season as well. Jim, we were debating last night the four-man shortlist for Player of the Year. We now know who the three managers are as well, so it's always a good debate for people.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, Gordon, it's time of the season when everything comes to a head, whether it's personal accolades for players and managers of all the divisions. And I think it's good for me, I think, I'd been in the game many times to see these kind of guys getting recognised, and not just the top teams, the likes of Tony Docherty, Derek McInnes and John McGlynn. I think it's three worthy contenders for Manager of the Year. The players, we discussed that last week in the programme. I think pretty much most of the calls we got were in agreement about the four players that were in the shortlist for that. And as far as the games are concerned, it's about holding your nerve. We saw two quite nervy performances, I think, from both Celtic and Rangers at the weekend. None of them at their best, but enough in the tank to go over the line and get the 3 points. And that really is all that mattered in tricky fixtures. Gordon said there will be tests ahead. And it's about, as I said, who holds it together. And also, I think, having a healthy squad at this stage of the season, I think that is vital for these remaining fixtures, because there'll be times when the substitutes could be pivotal.
Come on then, 01419511025. What are you thinking tonight on the awards front today? The managerial shortlist was revealed. Derek McInnes of Kilmarnock, Tony Docherty of Dundee, and John McGlynn of Falkirk. So who should win out of those? Are there any names that you think should have been thrown into the mix? Any that you think are unlucky to miss out? Of course, the timing plays a part. We don't yet know what Brendan Rodgers or Philippe Clement could achieve. So get all your thoughts in there, please, right now if you can. 01419511025. Plenty of players to hear from today as well. James Tavernier was speaking as he was nominated for Player of the Year yesterday, talking about this speculation linking him to Saudi Arabia. He says he expects to be at Rangers next season. I wonder how you Rangers fans feel about all of that. There's been a mounting speculation about John Lundstrom as well heading to Turkey, so it's maybe a bit early to plan a discussion around signings for next season, but we're kind of getting to that stage. What do you make Tavernier, Lundstrom, and how the pieces might be moving around ahead of the new campaign? Lauren Shanklin says his Hearts contract talks can wait until the end of the season. Does that place everyone else on high alert? Are there still clubs in Scotland that would take a look, or would you expect him to go elsewhere, or indeed remain at Hearts? There is a lot to get through. We can hear from our young player of the Year nominees as well. We didn't do that last night, we'll do that this evening. But most importantly, I want to hear from you. So come on down right now if you can on 0141 951 1025. Since it is award season, we discovered last night that I would say in my head, you two are very different, Jim Duffy and Gordon DL. But we discovered last week there is a similarity between the two of you, because we discovered that when Jim Duffy won Player of the Year, he get caught the next morning stuffing all the freebies from the hotel into his box that the award comes in, which is exactly something you would do.
100%. I still do it to this day. Duff, there's nothing up with that.
Get a wee perk, Gordon. You're going to take the wee perks out of that at your disposal, aren't you?
Yeah, and when you get caught, you just embrace it, Jim. You never get embarrassed, you embrace it.
There we go. Anyway, 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. It is up to you as always. Of course, there are obvious talking points, like the title race is an example, Player of the Year discussion, the Manager of the Year discussion is a new one. So who should win out of those three, and who has been unfortunate to miss out? And if there's anything else, it is only Tuesday, of course, if there's anything you think we didn't quite tidy up from the weekend, any points we didn't cover last night, now would be a good time to share it. It was quite a good weekend all round, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. And even if you go and, you know, you look at Livingston, I'm delighted for David Martin. It must have been such a long season so far for him. I tipped him, Gordon, the weekend to go and get a result against Ross County. It leaves that bottom between Ross County and St Johnstone very, very tight. Motherwell dragged in a little bit, but I think Motherwell have got too much. Aberdeen are away in the distance now, they're fine. But that's still a bit of excitement. And obviously Dundee and St Mirren still going for, you know, fifth and sixth place there. So there's still a lot to play for, although we are concentrating in the big two, rightly so, because that's the exciting part of it. There's still a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, I suppose not a lot changed. That's probably why, isn't it? The gap at the top stayed the same, albeit there were talking points. I think the only thing, I mean, Aberdeen moved above Motherwell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That be it? Was that the only place?
Yeah, there wasn't much. Obviously, Burnley won, and, you know, they were bitterly disappointed not to get the top six. Then Hibs released that statement. So that put a little bit of pressure on Nick Montgomery. And I think he's the one manager in that bottom six that really has to finish the season strongly. I think the rest are pretty much preparing for next season. Obviously, Aberdeen having the new manager. I think Motherwell, we heard Stuart Kettlewell, you know, really raging about the decision for the red card, felt it had a huge influence in the game. And they've been a bit inconsistent in Motherwell. At times they've had patches where they've looked very good, and other times where they just can't buy a result. And that's the reason why, you know, you say they're still in that, you know, they're teetering on the edge, but I'm with Gordon. I think they're more than enough. And we mentioned both Rangers and Celtic, not overly convincing performances, but enough in the tank and enough quality at the top end of the pitch to make sure that the title race is going to go to the wire.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That's the number. Alan in Kings Park dialed. How's it going, Alan?
Bad, thanks. How's it going
for
you guys?
Yeah, all good in here. No complaints. What are you thinking tonight?
It's just, I was saying to the producer guy there, some of the narrative at the minute is a wee bit about how Celtic and Rangers at the weekend there got similar results and they weren't that good, but they got the job done. I'm a Celtic fan and I thought Celtic were actually alright. I mean, the way the game went, they were 2-0 up and then Hatate hit the post and then Dundee went up the other end and got a goal, and fair enough, from then on it was a bit cagey for Celtic, but they got the job done. But overall, I mean, I don't think it was a struggle or anything like that. You know what I mean?
I think you say that on what we've said. You know, they weren't at their best. Yeah, they were good enough to win the game and deserve to win the game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you mentioned there, you're 2-0 up. Okay, regardless of whether you hit the post or not, you didn't. You know, Celtic didn't score, and when the goal went in from Dundee, they were a bit nervy, and that's happened a couple of times this season. They've lost late goals, they've dropped points late in matches, and you could kind of almost get that sense that because that's happened in the past and at the stage of the season they're in, they can all, you know, very unlike Celtic. I felt they almost went into defence mode rather than perhaps, If they're, as you say, playing at the top of the game, free-flowing, they would have went for the third goal. They would have went to try and really kill the game, but they didn't. They went and made sure that they didn't lose a second goal and obviously 2 points on that. So I think it was a solid performance without being outstanding, but it's understandable, as I said. And Dens, Gordon mentioned earlier on, Dundee are having a terrific season. Dens Park's been notorious this year for not having the pitch in great condition. So I don't think it really mattered. I think before the game, Brendan Rodgers was a bit in the handoff just to win the game.
So were you never got a bit nervous, Alan, towards the end?
Well, see, at the start of the second half, from what I remember, the first 15 minutes was mostly Dundee, so I wasn't used to that. And then it actually be about 5 minutes to go. I was watching it on the telly and I left the room. I couldn't deal with it. So
there we go then. It must have been closer than you're giving it credit for if you can't even watch it.
No, but because, no, Jim's right. See, we've conceded goals with like minutes to go and all that, and you get a daft draw out of nothing. So I couldn't watch it and I left. And is I came back in when it was finished and they were all singing the songs.
We have been speaking about this, Gordon. Look, when you win the title at the end of the day, it's not really going to matter how you get there. But is that maybe the difference with Celtic currently? And I know everyone's fed up of the comparisons to last season, but just as an example, if they went 2-0 up, you know for sure that it's done. And I suppose at the weekend it was done because they won the game. But you know what I mean? That there would never, that there seems to be scope for nervousness or scope for a nervy finish.
I think that was caused by the freak goal. I'll be honest with you, I looked at the game. First half, I thought Celtic come out the blocks very well. I thought they were sharp, they looked good, they were passing the ball about well. I thought they dominated most of the first half. And then all of a sudden, when it's 2-0, that next goal is the real one. And you're going for a title, so there's got to be a little bit of nerves. But I kept saying on the show, and Hugh had predicted 2-2 and was desperate for a 2-2 to get his prediction up. You know, Hugh, he's brilliant at that. And I kept saying to Hugh, I don't see the confidence where you're getting it that's going to be 2-2, because I don't see what Dundee are doing that would make me nervous if I was look, you can have another freak goal, right? But I didn't see Dundee as much as they're a good side and they had a bit more possession second half. I didn't look at Dundee and think, oh, they're a real threat. They're battering Joe Hart's door down here. They're going to get this goal. They've got to put Celtic under pressure. I thought Celtic done a professional job.
Let me caveat this by saying, I know this is not a brilliant stat. I'm not saying it tells everything, but Tony Docherty referenced it after. It's the most shots on target Celtic have faced, you know, this season. I think they clearly were pretty in it. You look at it, was it Michael Mellon's header at the back post right towards the end and stuff?
Yeah, but
well,
it doesn't
have the Dundee. Yeah, but that doesn't make it less
target,
of a
target. But
well, I've told you about shots on target then.
Right, but I didn't think that looking at the game that Joe Hart was making one good save after another.
Alan's telling you it got to the point where he had to leave the room. It must have been tense,
though. Because, like, have you look at the goal that Celtic conceded? Alan's like all the other Celtic. That could happen again. You know what I mean? It was a freak goal.
But you know yourself, the more balls you put into the box, the more bodies you put in, the more chance there is of a ricochet, a deflection.
Jim, I take that on board, but what I'm saying is, I didn't see Joe Hart under severe pressure having to tip balls over a bar and round the post.
It's so relative, though, isn't it?
It was run-of-the-mill saves for me.
Yeah, but I thought it was still a bit unlike Celtic, because Celtic normally would go and attack,
control
the game, but they didn't. I think they battened down the hatches. I think they rolled the sleeves up. All credit to them, a different type of performance. They were resilient, as you say. They got bodies in the right areas to stop those glaring opportunities around about Joe Hart's goal. But it was more to do with having that defensive core. And as I said, listen, you have to do that. You have to win games like that sometimes over the course of the season.
I think we've all been in the game long enough to realise, right, you look at how split minutes and football changes it. Hatate hits the post and Dundee go up the park and they get their goal about 2 minutes later, right? So all of a sudden going from, and you're quite right in saying they didn't score, but he was very unlucky, all of a sudden going nearly 3-0 to 2-1, and you can't I think Celtic could afford to drop a couple of points because they've still kept them top of the league, but you want to win and keep your advantage.
It's psychological, isn't it?
Yeah, of course you do. But I just thought Celtic were they'd done enough to go and win the game.
Alan couldn't watch anymore at the weekend. He couldn't hang on anymore either. He's gone. I was about to bring him back in. Let's go to Bill.
Back in the cupboard.
Let's go to Bill, who's on the other line. What are you thinking about tonight, Bill?
I'm thinking it's come the time of the year when we should think, giving serious thought to players we're going to bring in and those that we're going to go out. And I reckon that as far as bringing in, there's two goalkeepers I think should be put forward, a left back, one of two centre-halves, a wing half, a winger, and two centre-forwards. But I think there could be nearly a dozen or more players going out. Langer, Bielka, Naroki, Mikey Johnson, Bernabe, Haksabanovic. I think Yang and O should go out and loan. Kobayashi, they should get rid of. Sigrist. Palmer, they should sell.
Everybody, Bill.
In my opinion, £1.5 to £2 million at the moment. Mm. You know.
No, I think Bill's bang on the money there with the sense.
They won't sell Luis Palmer, though.
I'm not saying he'll sell them. I'm not saying every player agree with me, but in the principle, you have to be looking now. You know, I understand budgets that can depend if you've won the league and you get guaranteed Champions League, all these sort of things. But in terms of recruitment, Gordon, you cannot wait to the summer anymore. Yeah, Celtic are not in that position, nor Rangers for that
Celtic
matter.
Celtic don't tend to go and spend millions more if they reach the Champions League anyway, so they might be in a position.
They don't, but for players it can be attractive, sure. You know, because other players, you're saying, well, you're playing the Champions League, it can be an attractive option for them if they don't have the mega options available to them. They can say, okay, Scottish football, well, no, it's not my number one list, but playing Champions League can be an attraction. But Celtic have to be doing their business now. They have to be preparing, they have to be doing their homework and get, you know, players targeted and ready to sign as soon as they possibly can, because we know that the riches, particularly down south and a lot of Europe now, will stop Celtic going for the very top players. So they have to have their scouting network, really at top level to make sure they get the best of the rest and have them in. And Hugh Keevans has mentioned several times on the programme, they have to certainly do an awful lot better than their recent record has been in the transfer market. I think just on occasion. I think somebody was okay and the rest were horrendous.
Right.
I think he said it was maybe Hugh's phrase. He'll tell us that anyway. But they have to be a lot better. I don't think there's any getting away from that. And Bill has mentioned a number of names. That's all down to opinions. But I'm along with Bill. I think they need to have a good 8 to 10 cleared out and a good number brought in of a higher quality that can totally compete for first team places rather than just being squad players.
I suppose, Gordon, when from our point of view, you think, who can you think about next season in the midst of a title race? But big clubs with big staff, and I know Mark Lawwell left Celtic not so long ago, but I guess that has to be going on. Not just Celtic, obviously, but
yeah,
Bill's called off about Celtic.
Would you
make of some of the names that Bill mentions? I've just always got this feeling that the number that fans think is going to leave the club is always more, just because it's just hard. You need people to buy all these players, or you need it to be right for them. And I always just think that any number you come up with, it always tends to be a bit less.
Yeah, I think it'll be a big summer for Celtic. I think it'll be an important summer, because I think that they come in for a lot of criticism in their transfer windows, their last two transfer windows. So it's got to be I think Bill makes a lot of good point. I'm with you, Gordon. Palmer, I don't know, but there's a lot of how do we explain it? Deadwood. I don't like saying words like that, but
just say it. Just
okay,
it.
Deadwood. Then. There's a lot of guys in there needing shifted out. Goalkeeping situations a priority anyway. We know Joe Hart's hanging up the gloves. Then you look at the centre back positions. I agree with that. I think Greg Taylor needs a bit of cover over on that left hand side.
Competition rather than cover.
Yeah, I think Greg Taylor is a good left back. Can you get better? It's up to Celtic to go and find that. You look in at the middle of the park, it depends who's staying, who's leaving, and obviously Celtic will bring in their usual 25 wingers, because they love a winger at Celtic Park. And they look at the centre. So,
and then this time next year, James Forrest will still be
still the number one wide right. But I do agree that as much as we could list, probably be more players there, let me tell you, we could rhyme off another right few players there. But you said it, Gordon, when you go to a club like Celtic and you sign at the beginning and you get decent wages, decent salary, decent contract, if you're not getting the right deal to move out, players nowadays will dig their heels in. So sometimes it's harder to shift those players than to get new ones in.
You've also got to remember, Gordon, that Brendan Rodgers, he will be focusing on strengthening the squad. It's not really Brendan Rodgers' job to move the players out. That's, you know, as you say, whether it's whatever department, the scouting system, the director of football, or whoever that role is designed, designated to, his job, he'll go to Brendan Rodgers and say, "Who? I don't fancy this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy." Right, you negotiate with him. What he's got to focus on is getting players in and his players. That, and that's the reason why you're right in what you said, that there's probably less go out because they're under contract.
It's difficult to
do. And the manager will be focused on players to come in and add qualities to his team.
How do you feel about the title race now, Bill? We're into the post-split games, of course.
It's obviously going to be very difficult. I think Celtic's two hardest games are probably going to be Hearts and Kilmarnock away.
What about the one in the middle, Bill? No.
No.
No, okay then, that's fine. Yeah. My personal opinion, this league title's simple for me. Celtic win their next two home games, they'll win the league.
Thank you very much to Bill. 01419511025. I suppose that's what midweek Clyde One Super Scoreboard is. You want to phone up about the weekend, you can. You want to go straight on to signings for next season, you can. What about this manager of the year debate as well? Derek McInnes, Tony Docherty and John McGlynn, they're the three that have been chosen. Has anyone been unlucky to miss out? If so, who? And who should win out of those three? Give us a call on that or anything else you fancy, and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here waiting for you to talk title race, player of the year, manager of the year, something else entirely. You're more than welcome to get involved. Billy's in Rockhill. How's it going, Billy?
I'm not in Rockhill. I'm working in Liverpool at the moment.
Oh, right. working right now. Is your shift finished for the day?
No,
do we need to tell your boss?
Billy Corkle.
I'm making my dinner. I'm all right. Don't worry.
Good.
The boss is the king, so I'm all right. So I work for the MOD. Anyway, I'm just going to talk to the panel. I want to know their opinion. Is right. At the moment, we are 3 points behind Celtic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their goal difference is five. Right. I do think, in the hearts of hearts, and I don't know if it's coming from a Rangers side, but I do think that we've got in us to go, if we bring our A game, to go to Celtic Park and win. Now, that's albeit, but then we're equal in points. Does the panel see any player? Now, hopefully they'll leave Silva in the bus. Hopefully. But do they see, in the four games remaining, do they see any way that we can win a 4 or a 5-0 or even a 4-1 or a 5-1? Yeah. Does anybody see any
player? So are you asking that because you're concerned about that it comes down to goal difference, basically?
I think we can win 2-0. I think we can win even 3-0. No, Celtic Park, but I'm talking about away. But they're going to do the same. They're going to match it. And I'm just thinking, where do they see that goal difference? Because if you think about it, that's the difference between 40, 50 million in Champions League.
Yeah.
Which is next season, is your whole season.
You've got to remember, Billy, that's you presuming Celtic don't score more than one goal per win. You know what I mean?
Billy can acknowledge that, but I don't think five's that many.
No.
If you're within those games
and you beat Celtic,
banking on Rangers beating Celtic, as Billy is, I now appreciate we're acting as if that's going to be easy. But by Billy's sort of logic,
if you had a 2-0 win, it's a 3-goal swing.
Yeah. So that's not a lot, is it? If that was to be the case, Gordon, now naturally, yeah, I can't predict one or two goals here and there, but it doesn't feel like five is loads. It doesn't feel like, especially when they do need to play each other, and Rangers would probably need to beat Celtic anyway as part of that. So I think five.
Yeah, well, I'm not sitting with the usual, well, it's 3 points plus a point for
that's
goal
what I mean
difference.
It doesn't quite feel like that yet.
No, I still think there's plenty of football to go there. I think there are plenty of goals. I keep saying it, and I think Kilmarnock and Hearts will be difficult, but I think Rangers Celtic. If Rangers can beat Celtic Park, Billy in Liverpool thinks they can, and if they get a good result there, everybody knows that Celtic's Achilles heel on the fixture list, and we've already had a fan on tonight saying it. The two hardest games for him is Hearts and Kelly away, because I was at their Kelly game the last time they played there, and Kelly deserved their win, and Celtic were awful on the day. But then you look at Celtic in their last game as well. They're capable of easily ranking up a few goals against St Mirren. I think what Rangers have got to do is, I know the goal difference just now is five. Yeah, okay, it's important at the end, but you just got to concentrate and win your games and see where it takes you. That's as simple as that. You've got to really win your
game. So,
games.
Billy, do you not? Cyril Dessers is up to 20 goals now for the season. Not got faith that he's got a few more in him.
I think he's good for two goals, and even maybe pushing it to three. But I'm concerned about our back four. If they're no firing no cylinders, then they're putting Burland under a lot of pressure. And don't get me wrong, I mean, that guy has, over the last four games, he must have, I mean, that could have been six goals put in if it wasn't for him. Let's be honest about it. I mean,
well, that's what he's there for, Billy. That's why he's in running for player of the year.
I know, but he's not getting any protection. That's the trouble.
I know that. That's
I mean, Rangers' defensive record over the piece is still...
Well, they've only conceded 24 goals.
And I don't know how many of those saves are like ones you wouldn't expect him to make. I think the one at the weekend definitely was. That's top drawer, isn't
it? That was unbelievable. The one he was going the wrong direction. Yeah. Six at hand. It's a phenomenal save.
Just as an aside, we can probably debate this in more detail later on in the week, but it's not like the games are coming thick and fast now to the point where you've got loads of midweeks and you're rotating. Is Conor Goldson now not get back in this team?
Well, I think he will get back in. I think he's given a little bit of a breather. I think Balogun's come in and done a decent enough job. I'll be surprised if Goldson isn't back in this weekend.
Oh, really?
So
this weekend, Jim?
Yeah, I think so. But again,
who are they leaving out?
Balogun. So I think he'll come back in. But listen, it's obviously Philip come on, but Billy's not so much worried about the defensive side. He's worried about scoring the goal.
No,
I think Billy,
he's saying he's worried about the back four as well. Billy's got a lot of worries.
But I think you've got to just focus on winning the games. And then if you can manage to win the game before, as Gordon mentioned earlier on, before you get to Celtic Park, then everything, you know, you've got to give everything to get that victory. You know, there's no point thinking about goal difference until you get to Celtic Park. You've got to win that. If you win it 1-0, you win it 2-0, whatever you win it, then you've got a target ahead of you, Billy. Then you can take a risk, you can take a gamble. You can say, right, we need to throw the kitchen sink at it. But if you don't beat Celtic at Celtic Park, then, you know, obviously it's gone.
The following game, Jim, then, if you do that, and it's all ifs and buts, right, you've got St Mirren at home. Now, we know St Mirren are a decent team, but you've got them at home. On that time, Kelly play Celtic are away. So you've got to think that's got to be a real tight game. So that's when I think you start looking at the goal difference. But just now, for the next two games, Kelly at home and Celtic away, I think you've concentrated. You've got to try and win the
just
points.
Win 1-0, 1-0. Yeah. You'd be delighted to get to Celtic Park if you win that and put yourself level on points. But
I'm very interested to go back to the fact that I know Balogun got caught at the goal at the weekend, but apart from that, I thought Balogun was excellent. I always get back to when the Rangers manager walked in the door, and for the first few months, everybody praised Rangers' defensive record, especially away from home. They were terrific. The two centre-backs were Goldson and Balogun. Now, I agree that I think a lot of Rangers fans, and we'll hear them tonight, have written Goldson off, and I can totally understand why, because his form has been poor. I'm with you, Jim. I haven't. I think Goldson's still got a lot in his locker. I think sometimes you have that dip in form, might need a couple of games just to sit out the road, get back in, refresh, go and show what you're all about. So I do think Goldson will play a part. But if I was picking a two central defenders, the top of their form, I would go Goldson and Balogun.
I'm just more...
So you would leave it Suter?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah. The reason I asked was more, though, because of where we are. You know, if you've done it twice... And there weren't any glaring errors, unless you think there were at the weekend. Is it not just likely that would stay?
Not necessarily. I think that, you know, Philip Clement has done it quite regularly. Not so much the back line, but certainly throughout the rest of his team, he's made changes. His rotation. He's mentioned it himself. That he looks at his whole squad. Goldson has been left out, and I agree that he deserved to be left out because his performances had dipped. I just think in the run-in, I gut instinct, I suppose, or a gut feeling, I think you'll bring him back in.
Thank you very much to Billy in Liverpool from Rock Hill, enjoying his dinner. The King's his boss. We've got a good life story from Billy, and that's what I like about this show. We're all pals. We share our details with each other up to a point. John is in Provan Mill. How's it going, John?
All right, Gordon and Jim.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Hi.
All good, lads. Tonight, God, you made a wee point. I'm a Celtic fan. You know, I've been on the show many times. Two games for me. Two games, we won a league. We won against Hearts and Rangers. Job done. That's a big incentive for any player. Two home games at Parkhead, and you're hard to beat. Celtic, I mean, I know you're saying, but I'm not even thinking about the Kilmarnock or St Mirren game. Honestly, for me, my opinion, I think two games, Celtic are champions, lads. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I agree, John.
There'll be no goal difference. There'll be no going to Kilmarnock with this and that. Celtic need to, I think, for me, we won on Saturday against Hearts. We're due to give them a doing anyway. And Rangers at Parkhead. Honestly, boys, I think the league's over.
No, I agree with you, John. I think the two games are you know, league deciders, in the sense if you get 6 points, I don't think there's any way that Rangers can come back from that. But I think that, you know, you again, Brendan Rodgers won't see it, the players won't see it.
No, you
have to focus on the Hearts game, because Celtic have been really poor against Hearts this year. You know, they haven't performed at all. Hearts have beaten them home and away, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a tricky game for Celtic. But the one thing is, at Celtic Park, they still have a fantastic home record. And, you know, I think you know, they know exactly what you're saying. The finishing line is close, and they know that if they win their next two games, they're more or less rubber stamped another league title. So I'm with you. Focus everything on the Hearts game. Then you've got a few days, you can rest, recover. Then you've got the Rangers game, and you know, if you do that, then you can more or less celebrate being league champions again.
Do those two previous games against Hearts not give you a bit more worry about what could lie in store, John?
No, I don't, because I'm going to go back to the previous game against Hearts. Right, for me, that was a joke, that game, where the boy getting sent off and the referee's performance. I'm not going to make any allegations about that referee. I'm just saying,
that's good
for me, Celtic, kind of me, Gordon, isn't it? But no, what I'm saying is, I think that was a non-game, basically. I think if we had 11 men on the park, we'd have won that night. I do believe that. And I really do, Gordon. Well, I was Gordon. No, you, Gordon.
Gordon Dale.
Gordon Dale, right, Gordon?
Yeah.
Did you agree with me? If Celtic win the next two games, champions.
John, you stole my thunder. I said it 5 minutes before you come on. So, of course, I agree with you. 100%. The only thing I will say is, it's a great position for Celtic, Ben. At home, win two home games, and you really are going to be champions. But you're playing the second and third best teams in the country. And you never know
has beaten you twice.
Twice, yeah. You never know what can happen. Once again, there will be difficult games, but right now, if I'm sitting here, I'd rather be in the Celtic camp than Rangers.
Well,
because
obviously, because you'd rather be first and second. Is no, that right, okay, your, is but, that your but, big statement for
no,
tonight?
No, when I look at the fixtures and I look at the home games, you know, everybody keeps Celtic, keep looking at this Kelly. This Kelly game could mean nothing for Celtic, because they could be champions by the time they get there. And that'll be a difficult game. But I think Jim's right in what he says. Just now, because of the importance of what's happening, you've got to concentrate Hearts at the weekend. Mm-hmm. You go over that hurdle, then you're in a one-game shootout. If you win that, it's good night.
I don't mind keeping it simple. It's better to be first than second. That could be the tagline. Yeah. See, in the YouTube stream for tonight's show.
You better first than second.
In capital letters, yeah. It's better to
sometimes
be first than second.
Sometimes people like being the chasers.
Too close to the end.
You don't win
that.
Silver, you lose gold.
Thank you very much to John. Let me tell you about this before we go on.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, not many tickets left now for Clyde One Live. I'm sure you've had the date in your diary for a while. Friday, 31st of May, we're taking over the Ovo Hydro, and we want you to be there. The full lineup features Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy in Texas. They'll play some of their biggest hits on stage on the night, Friday the 31st of May, and you can get your tickets at Clyde1.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy's here, so is Gordon DL. Lots of your calls coming in, tweets as well, so keep them coming. We are here, of course, until 8 o'clock. 0141 951 1025 on the phone. So come on down and let us know what you're thinking. Still a couple, I can see a couple of calls coming in on the Manager of the Year discussion. A refresher in case you missed the news: Derek McInnes, Tony Docherty and John McGlynn. Is that the right three? Who's missed out? Who'll win it? Give us all your thoughts on how your manager has performed. Even if you don't think he's in with a shout, maybe you can appraise your manager then on the usual number. Let's go to William, who's on the line. How are you, William?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you, panels?
Not bad. All good in good here. Night. What are you thinking tonight?
Basically, first things first, a big congratulations to Derek McInnes on becoming into the Greenock Morton 2024 Hall of Famer.
So it was. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big achievement.
Is that your part of the world? You're from Greenock, aren't you? Keep a eye on things down at Capello.
I know, well, yeah.
Good stuff. No, I saw that. That was good recognition. Former Morton manager Jim Duffy's here, so we've got it all covered.
You're in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Basically, secondly, they're talking about basically Rangers needing a big clear out. We could have a clear out, yeah, but I can't see us having the money to replace the players we want to get out. So I can't, Sam Lammers being brilliant in Holland football, but I think Utrecht have an option to buy at a set price. What does the panel think of that?
Yeah, well, he's just broken the record, isn't he, for scoring seven goals in consecutive games, I think, or seven games consecutively, which is a phenomenal record. The Sam Lammers one's an interesting one because, you know, he certainly didn't set the heather on fire when he was at Rangers, but he said that he didn't play his true position. He's a striker and they never get the opportunity to play that. So will Philip Clement look at that and perhaps look at it, because strikers are, you know, very difficult to find. And if someone, if he hadn't been already at Rangers and someone had said, listen, this guy's doing as well at Utrecht, would you bring him back? Would you consider signing him? You'd be
interested to not take another look, wouldn't you? Because it's not like he's been there for ages. You know, sometimes you get that.
Well, 6 months or something.
Well, as a very loose example, take Mikey Johnson. He's doing very well at West Brom, but some Celtic fans are still saying, well, no, because he's had a lot of chances and we've seen him. For Sam Lammers, you'd need to have a look in the summer, wouldn't you? And for what it's worth, I had a check. The reports I can see from when he moved on loan was that there was no fixed fee in place for Utrecht to buy.
The better he does, the more money Rangers can ask.
The thing I would do, you're right, Gordon, I don't think you'd a fair crack of the whip at Rangers.
He probably did it at the start.
But sometimes it takes a bit longer to settle in. And if he's now saying, look, I wasn't played in my favourite position, then it's very hard to hit the ground running sometimes, because you're playing in a new position, you're playing in a new style of football, you're playing in a new country, you're playing in...
Also, they were struggling a bit under Michael Beale at that particular
exactly
time.
Exactly, Jim. So, look, you go out on loan to build up game time, you go out on loan to build up confidence, you go out on loan to put yourself back in the window to come back and say, right, that's me, I'm ready to hit the ground run. It's a new season, pre-season, new manager. I would definitely be having another look at Lammers, but I'd be sitting down talking to him and saying, right, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. You said you're a centre-forward. I'm going to, if I play, I'm going to play as a centre-forward. You show me what you can do. Then there's no stone unturned. If you decide after that few months or few games or whatever it may be that you're just not suited to Scottish football, then at least you've tried and you can move them on. Because obviously, people will take him. There's no doubt in that.
What do you think, William? Are you intrigued by what he's doing over there?
I actually think he's doing brilliant over there. It's a big step up for the SPL, and he's up against basically like top class, basically young and experienced defenders, and he's still basically scoring goals for fun.
Yeah, and he's normally one of the top teams, you know what I mean? So he's done really well. The thing is, though, William, you know, Rangers will have a recruitment kind of debate, if you want to call it that, over the next few months, because a lot of the players had previously been brought in by Michael Beale, and Philip Clement's only had a relatively short impact in terms of the players he wants to bring in. Obviously in loan, a couple of these guys will go back. I'm sure there'll be interest in Jack Butland, as much as the Rangers fans won't want to hear it. I think when you look around the country, I'm talking about the UK, there's not many, you know, goalkeepers of his quality there. So I think there will be significant interest in Jack Butland. Obviously, Baricic is leaving, as you know. I think there will be changes, and it looks like Lundstrom's on his way.
Well, let's throw some of those names, actually.
So there's a few changes to be made at Rangers. I think there is a bit of recruitment to be done there. Maybe not as much as Celtic, because financially, Rangers are maybe not in a stronger position. But certainly, in a numbers game, I think Philip Clement will want to, you know, have six or seven 100%. Out and five or six in, I think so.
Two names at the moment, William. Let's go John Lundstrom and James Tavernier. How keen are you to see them?
I would keep Big John. If the last couple of games, so he first came in, he got a lot of stick. And then he started to play brilliant. The run to the European football, it was outstanding. So it was having Kamara were brilliant. So they were. Personally, we got at European football with no recognised striker. We played Aribo. And he's not a striker. Yeah, it took his goal well. But I think if we had a recognised striker on that part, I think basically
Yeah, John Lundstrom definitely had those Thursday nights scored when he came into his own. He seems to have these peaks and troughs. He's reported to be a rather large earner in relative terms in the Rangers squad. There are reports that he isn't going to stay and he's going to head to Turkey. Do you think, can you see that, a departure in the summer?
I think that the Rangers manager's come out and said, look, there's a contract on the table, he's not signed it. Well, sometimes you try and hold off for a little bit more. You take the advice of your advisors. I think Lundstrom under Clement has played very well. I've got to say, I like him sometimes. He frustrates me other times.
The whole time Clement's been here?
No, I think he's dips. I think when Clement came in the building at first, I think Lundstrom took a right, you know.
He's given him lifted.
I gave him that lift. He's put a high level. Everything about him. I don't think he's going to be... I think he's a good player. I think Rangers fans are quite happy, right? But depends what the financial package is. I don't think that he's going to be a great loss if he goes, right? Because I think the Rangers manager's got a good eye for a player and I think he could replace him.
Thank you to William. Something that William said has sparked James into phoning because he's just given us a call there. What was it, James? What are you thinking?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
My hangme on Sam Lammers is the guy's had his chance at Rangers and never took it. He was played at striker, couldn't do it. There's a big, massive difference between it for Utrecht and it is doing it for Rangers. Gordon will tell you yourself, the pressure that you're under today at Rangers is 10 times higher than what Utrecht is. It doesn't matter what you say or how you dress it up. I hope he continues to keep banging him in between now and the end of the season because it means that we'll get more money for him. But he's better away for Rangers. We've kept Dessers and let him go, which I think says everything about the guy for me. We need to look kind of closer to home, I think, for some of the recruits this season. And the boys that I would be going after are the boy Watson, I think, Kelly.
Yeah, David Watson, young player.
See, just on that before we go, David Watson, though, are you sure that it's not worth just even... I mean, Sam Lammers will come back in the summer... Take a look at pre-season. The window won't shut till the end of August. I think the point we're trying to make is do you need to have it written off right now? Because you're right, there are few places in this planet that have the pressure like we have in Glasgow. But, you know, with a successful season under his belt, is it not worth just getting him back and taking a look?
Well, what's going to have changed on what 6 months for me is nothing. He's going to come back. He's going to look that kind of guy that you will get 10, 15 minutes out of. He keeps the ball far too long for me. He doesn't release the ball quick enough. And I just don't think that anything's going to have changed in that amount of time. I think he'll just come back to Scotland. And let's be honest, guys, he's not the first and he certainly won't be the last player that comes to Scotland and can he handle it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. We've mentioned this before, but we're also very, very quick to judge, James. That's another thing. It's exactly what you said. It is a different pressure coming to Rangers, coming to Celtic, because the expectations are you have to win every game, you have to play a certain brand of football, you know, you have to be able to cope with the demands on and off the pitch, you know, the spotlight on you, you know, pretty much 24/7. And that some players thrive on that and they just click their fingers and they're off and running. Other people take 6 months, a year. We've seen it many times where players in the second season have got used to it. They've got used to the whole way of life, the Scottish game, everything. So I'm always a wee bit, you know, a wee bit more conservative in making judgments, you know, not make them too quick one way or the other. And I, as I said, for Lammers, I think he's worth bringing back for another look in the summer. If he's the style of player that Philip Clement wants, if he's not of that style, if Philip Clement thinks...
And maybe he has made his mind up.
And he may well know more about him because obviously he was in Belgium before and with the you know, he may be well have known the player before it and thought, nah, he's not for me. That's fine. If that's what the manager's made his mind up, move him out. But there will be a good number of players, whether it's Kamal Roof, Ryan Jack, these guys... Rangers will have to make space, and with John Lundstrom, maybe financial space as well as playing space. They'll have to move some players out to allow Philip Clement to really put his stamp on the team.
Thanks, James. That's the beauty of it. A caller phones in, says one thing, somebody else reacts. The phones lit up there when people started talking about Sam Lammers. And did we plan it? Absolutely not. 01419511025. We do plan this, though. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Gordon DL or Jim Duffy and win yourself a signed ball. What is not to like? 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here on 01419511025. That is the number you need. We've been talking generally, I think, about the title race and what team needs to score what amount of goals and what players will and won't be here next season. That type of thing. Usual fun of the fair for the end of April. What about this manager of the year stuff? We could do that. This now seems like a nice time to move on. Only if you have thoughts on it, of course. Don't let me twist your arm too much. Derek McInnes, Tony Dock and John McGlynn. Those are the three. Is that the right three? Who's missed out? Who should win? Give us a call right now and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Good night to call, actually, because looking at the league table, you two are like St Johnstone and Ross County.
In the playoffs.
I don't think. If you look at our league table, who's won the most out of all the pundits?
You know that the table's based on win percentage, so you are struggling. The only pundit with a worse win percentage than you two is Charlie Mulgrew, and we've not seen him in months. That's probably why.
So who's it? Hold on. Who's at the bottom?
Charlie.
No. Who's above Charlie?
Jim and then you. There's only 2% between you two, though. You're very much together.
Who's won the most games out of the pundits?
Because you played the most.
It doesn't matter. That's how my percentage is the lowest.
See the ones that I've got, or the ones right? They've just had such a boring life.
Exactly.
All they've done is saturated themselves in football. At least me and you
two rock stars have lived a bit.
I'm in the pundit of the year because of, obviously, I've won so many.
In your own head, I think, clearly. Jamie is in Armagh. How are you, Jamie?
All good.
Good. You ever played before?
No, not. Just at home. I haven't phoned in there.
Do you do all right when you play along at home?
Sometimes.
You picked a good night, Jamie.
He's keeping his cards close to his chest. I said this last night a lot. I've lost the 50p. I don't know who's done me out of this 50p. Gordon Dale, you're the type of man that carries change.
No, come on. Honestly, I haven't got any.
That's because you don't pay for anything.
Exactly. The only change I carry is my face.
I played golf and I've even taken my marker out of my pocket, honestly. Who steals 50p at the studio?
Here's big producer John.
Oh, there's a one penny in there. There you go.
There you go.
John.
That's a euro. Jim's giving us 5 cents.
There you go. Something was down in that pocket somewhere. I think somebody gave me today.
He'd a 50.
And he swapped it.
He swapped it. You miserable man.
Producer John handed me a 50 pence and then took it back quickly and swapped it for a 5.
Honestly,
it was a 5.
You can't toss a 5, it's too small.
It was like dynamo the way you done that. You couldn't even see it. My hands were that first. God.
Heads, it will be Jim Duffy. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is heads. It's Jim
me
up against Jamie on the line. So we'll give Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to. And that way he can't hear what's going on in here. Jamie, 30 seconds, just answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Ricky Lammy is on loan at Dundee from which club?
Pass.
Which player commanded the record transfer fee between two Scottish clubs? What date's the Scottish Cup final?
25th.
Who was relegated from the Scottish Premiership last season?
Dundee United.
Name any of the teams in the playoff places in League One.
Hamilton.
Got it in time. Let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yes. Loud.
What were you listening to?
How you gonna get down on it?
Get down on it.
Oh man.
get your dancing butt on the floor.
I don't think that's the words, but anyway, 30 seconds on the clock. That's and your time starts now. Ricky Lammy is on loan at Dundee from which club?
Motherwell.
Which player commanded the record transfer fee between two Scottish clubs?
Scott Brown.
On what date does the Scottish Cup final take place?
May the 25th.
Who was relegated from the Premiership last season?
Dundee United.
Name any of the teams in the playoff places in League One.
League One, Alloa.
Who was the last Scot to score against England men's team?
McTominay.
In what year did James Forrest make his Celtic debut?
2012.
Okay. Jamie, how do you think it went?
No good.
Is that what happens when the pressure, when you know you've got
pressure,
one wrong?
The pressure built up.
Jamie went to the Irish leagues.
Jamie's a big Celtic fan, so sometimes it depends how the questions fall. Right, Ricky Lammy is on loan from Motherwell to Dundee. 1-0 Jim Duffy. The record transfer fee between two clubs is Scott Brown.
Brilliant.
That's when I knew Jim had the bit between his teeth. See, he was rocked by
I am so glad I didn't get that.
What would you have gone for?
Tony Andrew Flo.
Two Scottish teams.
I know. I didn't listen to the question.
2-0 Jim Duffy. I could hear the delight, Jamie, because you knew the cup final and you were straight on it. 25th of May. Unfortunately for you, so did Jim Duffy. 3-1. Jamie settled himself, you know, that way you find your feet in a game, you get a couple of passes off, you feel a bit better. So Dundee United were relegated, you got Hamilton in the playoffs as well, so it's not a bad effort, Jamie. Unfortunately for you, Jim Duffy is getting all of them right, so it's a 5-3 at the moment. The last Scot to score against England men's team,
Griffiths?
It is Lee Griffiths, because it was a Maguire own goal, wasn't it, in the one recently, so it was Lee Griffiths. And James Forrest made his debut in 2010. He didn't need the last two. A 5-3 win. But as always, we do really appreciate you taking the time, Jamie. You're a good man.
No worries at all.
Thank you, Jamie. Take care.
That was actually no bad from Jamie. Well done, Jim.
I like that. I think it'll be 5-3.
That was a good game end to end.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget, you can stay in touch on Twitter as well as the phones. We could get stuck into a manager of the year discussion if you so wish. You'll like this tweet that Brian sent, though, speaking of Twitter. He says, Rangers need a comeback performance like John Higgins last night. Brian has picked his moment, because of all the Super Scoreboard pundits, you two are the snooker buffs.
Yeah, we love
I
snooker.
Know you would have loved that last night.
I was texting John on Sunday night.
Oh, just sort of bend down and pick up that name you're dropping there.
No. John and I play golf together. I'm very friendly with John. And I actually was given a bit of ribbon because he'd never invited. I always wanted to go at the Crucible. Yeah. And he actually says to me, well, get yourself down tomorrow night and I'll look after
you.
What a game it was. Mm-hmm.
And you
I
didn't
tell
go
you what,
because you're in here with us?
Or no, last night.
So why did you not go?
Monday.
Oh, it's bath night now,
Monday,
isn't it? Because the clocks have changed.
I can't change my
bath. It used to be Wednesday for his bath night, Jim, but when the clocks change, it goes to a Monday.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
How did the clocks get back 48 hours?
I don't know. I've honestly.
It's all about the early nights and the start of the week compared to the winter when it's Wednesday.
Like a full moon or something like that.
You need something you look forward to on a Wednesday, pick yourself up. Whereas on a Monday, boom, bath, you're ready. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're looking forward to the weekend. Wow.
Now, usually he is a liar, as we know, but I actually can vouch for that. He does occasionally play golf with John Higgins. I had the pleasure of playing with both of them once. And you know that way you think, right, understand that he gives Mark Wilson a bit of nonsense and he insults Roger Hanna and Fraser Wisher. These guys will take it. You think like sporting greatness in John Higgins, he'd like behave himself a bit more.
I had
never met him before, and he was so, he came and picked us up, so kind of him. He pulls up, he gets in, he opens the door and he goes, 4-time world champion and this is what you're driving.
Well, listen, you know, John, I'm sure John took it with the humour that was intended.
We nearly broke down.
That was me trying to do the clean version. There were obviously other words.
Yeah, of course, a few
that.
Profanities thrown in there.
I can't have that. He's worth billion. He's.
Well, listen, I have to say, what a player. And last night's game, yeah, showed unbelievable metal to win 13-12 and finished it with incredible clearance.
He gets to the final, I'll be down.
How did he go on today?
He's 5-3 down the first session, but he's all right. Well, listen, he's a phenomenal, sportsman, John, and I think one of these guys that deserves all the plaudits he gets. A true gentleman as well.
Who cares if Gordon Dell doesn't like your car? Yeah. That would be the question. 01419511025. Derek McInnes, Tony Docherty, John McGlynn. That's your shortlist for player of the year, manager of the year. Yeah. George and Hamilton, who's missed out? Who deserves a mention?
How are you doing, guys?
Good, thanks. The
person who missed out is Rhys McCabe for Airdrie. I think Rhys, this season has been absolutely fantastic. What he's done regarding the style of play, the budget he's had. We've won the cup already this season. We're in the playoffs. I think that it's been a really, really. They should have nominated Rhys McCabe as manager of the year this year.
Yeah, I think he's a good shout. I think Jordan,
you mentioned that before the show, Jim, didn't
you? Yeah, we mentioned we were talking before the show started, and we made recent, and obviously Gary Naismith at Stennis Muir as well, because I think it's their first ever title, so I think that's a phenomenal achievement. When you know, at clubs who don't have a huge budget, I think all these things are tougher. That's the reason why I think, you know, the likes of Tony Docherty and Derek McInnes have been mentioned. John McGlynn's done a phenomenal job over the last couple of years, as has Rhys McCabe. I think he's the best young manager in Scotland. I think it's great that Airdrie have him, but I think there'll be. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to be on the radar of the next, you know, the next step up for him, because he's done such a terrific job last year getting up on the playoffs. But as you mentioned, not just winning matches, getting promotion, but the style of football. They play really good, attractive football. him and Callum Fordyce have done a great job there, and I'm with you. He can certainly be one of the contenders. Yeah. If there was one or two omissions.
Is he a victim, potentially, like many others are, of the timing? And we know why it is. It's unavoidable. Mm. Every league does it. We can mump and moan, but it's just the way it is. As an example, as we've said at the top, if Philippe Clement wins a treble, you'd say he'd be in mega chew of manager of the year. We don't know that yet. Whereas if Rhys McCabe was to take Airdrie through the playoffs, he's the manager of more than just this season, you would have to say, and that becomes an entirely different proposition. Would he have done enough right now to get this in, or would you need to see that next?
No, I think I'm with Jim. I think he's done enough right now, because you look at where they've came from as well. You know, they got promotion. They come
via
up
the playoffs last season.
Yeah, they come up into a difficult league. They've not got the greatest budget. Their style of football's great. They're in the playoffs. I think it was George that said they've won that cup already. Is it TNS?
TNS, your favourite Welsh team.
Yeah, they beat in the final. And I think everybody concerned at Airdrie are delighted with the job he's doing. He's a young manager. He's learning his trade as well, going along the way. So I think just now, even if he doesn't make, you know, say Partick Thistle, because Partick Thistle has got to be a difficult hurdle to go over. Even if he doesn't go over that hurdle, I think Airdrie can look back and the manager can look back and say, we've had a terrific season.
I think there is some talented young managers. I think Chris Doolan's another one at Partick Thistle. I mean, Partick Thistle last year lost out in the cruelest of situations. You know, you're basically three goals up with about 15 minutes to play to get to the Premier League. You know, a three-goal advantage. So to continue that again this year, to get that, to have that mental toughness to drag yourself back up and have another go at it this year. They're in the playoffs again this year. I think Chris Doolan is another talented young manager. I'm not saying he should be one of the nominees, but I think there are some talented young managers out there, Rhys McCabe being one of them. But as I mentioned, I think Gary Naismith deserves, you know, a real good mention. And we've had one or two people saying John McGlynn, obviously they're a full-time club and a largely part-time league. But so far with one game to go in the league and they're unbeaten. And also, they're a fantastic side to watch, Falkirk. I've seen Falkirk maybe half a dozen times this year, and they're a very entertaining footballing side who score a bundle of goals. They play really free-flowing football. Style of football, winning football. Yeah. You've got to be up there. So well done, John McGlynn.
George, is there a danger that Rhys McCabe gets tempted away, or are clubs going to have a look this summer? Is he ready for that?
Well, that's what I fear. I honestly fear that, and I hope he stays next season as well, and the seasons after, because the style of football that Rhys has got is playing for the last 2 years is nothing short of fantastic. And I can go and watch Airdrie. I can pay my money through the turnstiles, and I enjoy my football. If we get beat, fair enough. If we draw, fair enough. But the style of football that Rhys has got his playing is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, because that, well, Jim, you'll know more than me, but that can't be easy when you are, you know, you're in a league that's as competitive as the Championship. Yeah. You know it's close. There were teams there that, you know, it is so results driven. It can't be easy to just stick to your principles constantly and make it work, because we always batter managers who stick to it blindly and then it maybe doesn't work out. And I feel like people take real delight in that for some reason.
Yeah, but they're not totally full time either. And they're, again, in amongst clubs with, you know, huge resources, you know, big clubs, you know, in Scottish football, big clubs, you know, teams like Dunfermline and Partick Thistle, big clubs, you know, Dundee United. You know, it's a tough league. And as George was saying, sticking to his principles, playing a certain brand of football. Also lost a couple of really key players in the summer, moved out, had to recruit again. It's not easy to recruit those type of players to keep that standard high. But everything they've done there, I think, I mean, listen, when they made the appointment, probably like a lot of people thought, 28, 29 years, although I was a manager at that time. In this era, it's very, very rare. Still playing. Mm-hmm. Callum, his assistant, still playing. I thought, that's going to struggle. That's going to be tough. But all credit to them. They have, you know, absolutely been a revelation and a great success. And as I mentioned, I think he's the best young manager in the country. I think he's the next guy who, the next available decent job comes up for, he will be right at the top of the contenders.
It's a good shout. Very quickly though, from the three names mentioned though, because they're the only three that can win it, obviously, who would you go for?
Derek McCann. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. I think from finishing 10th, I would say, last year, promotion 10th, I think the way he's built it up the ladder, the squad that he's built, the results he's had, it was the year prior, I think it was away from home, they really struggled. Everybody now talks about the most difficult away fixture. Okay, take Celtic Rangers out, it is Rugby Park. Maybe some people say it's because of the surface. You look at the squad, you look at the quality players, the football he's playing. For me, there's an argument for the other two, 100%. I think Derek McInnes done a terrific job.
Who was your shout out of the three? John McGlynn?
No, I think John McGlynn's done a great job. I would be going for Derek McInnes as well, because of the job he's done. You know, he's built a football club there, and I think that is the hardest thing to do. You can inherit some really good players. You can have the finance that can sometimes help you, but when you've got to build it, you've got to use your footballing brain and experience. And Derek McInnes has done that absolutely wonderfully. And to achieve European football, I think has been a sensational achievement for Kilmarnock.
Well, if you disagree, feel free to put these two in their place. Thanks to George and Hamilton. What about Robert and Dalkeith? What are your thoughts, Robert, on that list? Who wins it? Who's maybe deserving of a mention?
Well, I'd just like to ask you guys one thing is, who decides the final person that wins it? Who decides?
It's the managers, isn't it, Jim?
It's the managers and coaches association.
It's a vote amongst the managers, Robert.
Yeah, you have a first and a second vote, or a vote for a manager in any league, and then you know, obviously it's just a simple count of the votes, Robert. You know, so all the managers that's
for this award, Robert. Yeah. You know, there's a football writers one, which the journalists vote for, but this one it's as voted for by the fellow managers.
Yeah, because I heard them saying earlier on that if you win a treble, blah blah blah. A couple of years ago, that Steven Gerrard got the manager of the year. And yet, Callum Davidson, with a far, far smaller budget, won two cups.
But I think the fact is that, Robert, that the Scottish Cup final wasn't played till after, you know, so you didn't know that he was going to win the second one.
Problem,
so it is a difficult one. I get you. If the awards are done at the right after the final game is played, I'm sure there'll be umpteen times where managers would have been a different choice. But you've got to vote for it maybe a month or so ago, or whenever it is, maybe even longer. You put your votes in, so the votes are done well in advance.
Yeah, because that was, as we all know, everybody thought Celtic were going to win 10 in a row, and Steven Gerrard won it, and it was wrapped up so early, so then that makes the voting a whole lot easier. If you knew Callum Davidson was going to win a double, it might not have been enough to change, but it would have played a part. Is there anyone you think has been overlooked this season, Robert?
Well, although it's quite far down the league, I think Stevie Robinson's done a good job, and he's playing some good football at the moment. And as I say, they've not got the budgets of the other teams. And I mean, watching them the other day, they've played some really good football.
Yeah, I think especially, look, if you take it just on the Premiership table, which you don't have to, the guy that's in fourth's nominated, the guy that's in sixth is nominated, the guy in between them isn't, Stephen Robinson. They've been in the top six all season long. It's back to back top sixes as well. You know, if we're pitching that sort of mid portion of the Premiership as being a successful place for that size of club, then is he not worth a shout?
I certainly think if you look at over the season, he's done a terrific job to get St Mirren to where they are. I still say that the three that's picked before him probably just edge it for me. Obviously, it's
and the guy that's finished third does not.
I was just going to mention
look at why is that? Is that just because everyone expects it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Hearts are expected to finish third, and I think Hearts himself would be bitterly disappointed if he didn't finish third.
Like Aberdeen and Hibs show you though that it's not it's not as easy as that.
Stephen Robinson's come out on record and said he voted for Stephen Naismith.
He did,
It shows you that he certainly has got his votes here, but it's up to the managers and coaches to decide. And it's very hard to argue with the three. I think the three that's been nominated at this moment in time, because we know that things could change, but they've been terrific.
Yeah, Jim Goodwin's won it with Dundee United. People say, well, Dundee United should win the championship. But the last time they were in it, I think it took about 4 years. It took Rangers 2 years. It's not that easy to get out of that championship. Dundee done it last year. I think that's the reason why Tony Docherty, when finishing top six is great, but they've got to remember they were only promoted last year, so, and only in the last day of the season. So I think sometimes, you know, managers look at the background story a little bit rather. But Stevie Robinson, again, fantastic manager and done great.
To round it off, Robert, who would you go for out of those three then? If it can only be one of them, who deserves to win?
Well, looking at Kilmarnock, I think plastic pitches should be banned anyway, because I think Kilmarnock's got quite a good advantage there. It's difficult to go and play. Some players, some actual clubs don't risk certain players on that surface, so you don't always get the better players coming and playing.
He still need to be good, because they had a plastic pitch last season, finished 10th.
And their away record
is much better this season as well.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I take that Kirtland's on board. Really good. I don't think Emdy likes the plastic pitch, but like,
you'll get one odd example every few weeks where somebody's coming back from injury and they're not risked. It's not like every team goes there and fields
a weekend team. As you say, somebody's maybe got a long term injury, might not be, but this is it's not a common thing.
Thank you to Robert. It's a good debate. Get in touch, keep them coming, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where I open up the inbox folder on the email. I find out which questions you have sent in to check the pundit's knowledge, and we give them about the next half an hour to see if they can come up with the answers. So let's do it tonight.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Thank you to Bob and Shettleston for sending this in, excluding Old Firm players.
Excluding.
Can you name the top league scorer from each of the last 8 seasons? So excluding Old Firm players, can you name the top league scorer from each of the last 8 seasons?
Sam Cosgrove.
He is in there, the 18-19 season. He got 16.
Lemel?
Nope.
Adam Rooney?
Nope.
What'd you call Higden?
In the last 8 seasons.
Van Veen.
No. So somebody pipped him last season, remember. Who would that be? Come on.
Kyogo. Kyogo, Van Veen, and who was the other? It wasn't Shankland, was it?
Yes, Shankland was Lawrence Shankland. It was indeed 21 last season for him.
Right. Mainly, did you say there was?
The last 8.
Oh, the last one.
Bob and Shettleston. And Shettleston. Stewards Inquiry.
What's up?
According to Soccer Base, Van Veen got 25 and Shanklin got 24.
Oh, come on.
Maybe there are other sources available, but I just double checked on Soccer Base. People can have a look. That makes me worry about the rest, but I'm sure they'll be fine. I'll give you Van Veen, right? Let's do Van Veen.
Okay.
Oops.
Liam Boyce?
Yes. Okay, that's 3 already. You've only got 5 to get, so we'll get them before the end of the show, I am sure. Let's bring in Brian, who's on the line. How are you, Brian?
I just give me a minute, I've got something to do.
All right, Brian. Don't let us keep hang on. Yeah, no worries. Just let us know when you're ready, all right?
put him on loudspeaker.
Delivery guy. Aye.
Let's listen.
Right. Aye.
Let's listen. In.
Right. Ask it who it is, Brian. Who is it?
Can he have a.
No, oh, yeah, nice. He is indeed at the door. Aye, that's great, isn't it?
Penny's delivery guy.
Don't let us keep you.
I'm taking a boo.
Oh, Brian, okay. I'm worried about you, Brian. You're rushing about back there. Right, take a deep breath. Give us your point.
Right, I think the manager in Winchester, manager here, is without a doubt, is Philip Clement.
How can it be without a doubt at this point when we don't know what will happen in the next two trophies?
For a start, he's won a trophy. He's clawed back Celtic's 8-point lead.
He's clawed back five of it then.
Right. Well, he's in the final of the Scottish Cup.
Yep.
He's playing Rangers, the only team to qualify for Europe quarterfinals, to a quarterfinal of a European trophy. So I don't think there's anybody else that could be manager of the year for what that man's did when he came into Rangers.
It's got to be timing, Brian. It's got to be timing. If Philippe Clement loses the league and loses the Scottish Cup, you're going to phone in that night and say, "Aye, still my manager of the year." No chance.
How should Derek McInnes not get it then when they've no won nothing?
But it can't all. We can argue about this at the weekend. Look, success is relative. Only two teams can win the league. That's the harsh reality of it. So don't even bother having a vote then. Just give it to the team that wins the league every season. When you were voting, Jim, I take it you took into account, well, that team's got that budget. They've punched above their weight. Look at the recruit, you know, that sort of thing. And what they've, like I say, achievements are relative, success is relative.
Yeah, I mean, there are times, of course, you can look at that. And Brian's looking at it from a the Rangers perspective. And Philip Clement has done a great job in the period of time he's been there. I don't think there's any disputing that. He already has a trophy in the cabinet. I think that is a huge improvement. You know, and you could argue that it could be in the mix. I'm not disputing that.
Oh, for sure.
So, but because of when the votes are in, and you know, when, as we mentioned before, it's not the perfect scenario. The managers, I think, look at a different, you know, just look at different situations, and they probably do take budgets into consideration, and you know, objectives and targets, and you know, whether they've been achieved or they've went beyond the levels that they could have achieved. Like Kilmarnock, we think. I don't think anyone at the start of the season would have thought, well, Kilmarnock will finish in the top four and be in Europe. And that's the reason why I think a lot of the managers and coaches have voted for Derek McInnes.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think it's all down to timing, isn't it? So we have to go with what we're looking at now, and it's the coaches and it's the managers.
Brian's saying that even now he would go like, Clement now.
It's very hard to argue. I think since Clement's come into building, he's been excellent. Trophy, what he achieved in Europe, you know, he's got a bit of belief in Rangers that they can now go and win the title, whereas under Michael Beale, everybody thought the title was gone months and months ago. So he has done a terrific job. I totally take that on board.
Difficulty with the European thing is Michael Beale got some. Michael Beale got the win against Betis that played a big part in the initial start.
But you've got to draw a line under the amount of names. I mean, listen, you've asked earlier on about, you know, suggestions, and Brian's come in with another suggestion, which is absolutely no problem with that. But ultimately, you know, there's probably, we've mentioned other guys in the programme from the lower leagues. There's probably seven or eight top candidates that could get mentioned, but there has to be a shortlist, and the shortlist based on the other managers and coaches. Remember, Brian, these are votes made by the managers. These are not from us. This is the managers themselves. So they believe that other candidates are stronger. I don't think they've got anything against. They'll know how good a job Philip Clement has done, but they believe other ones are more relevant to picking up a trophy at the end of, was it next weekend?
Was that a food delivery you were getting, Brian?
It was. I was starving.
What did you get?
What was it?
Believe it or not, the best place to get a carry out in Kilmarnock is Shaz Curry House, and I got a shish kebab, and it's absolute melt in your mouth.
Oh, that sounds magnificent. I'm starving as well.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Enjoy it, Brian. Away you go. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB.
Do you think Brian was trying to get a wee freebie there? Doing a bit of advertising. Aye. I bet he phones up the shop. Right, he'll throw it up the shop and say, by the way, I gave you a shout out.
You've got some cheek. That's the type of thing you would do.
100%. You've got to capitalise on your fame. You've got to capitalise. Because it doesn't last long.
It doesn't last long. Listen, you're still going, you're in your 60s.
Speaking of your fame, did you hear the... So at the nominations day yesterday, when all the players were, you know, nominated for the awards that we've been discussing, your name actually came up.
Oh no.
Weirdly, what? Yeah. So they think the championship players, there was some sort of like quiz, I think. They were asked like different questions. Brian Graham was involved, Lewis Vaughan, I think, the championship nominees. I'll just play the clip and you can hear it.
That's a bad one.
Are you a bit upset with that?
I'm upset that I've never got that.
Who is? Is this voluntary score a number?
I'm going to go with three. No, it's just a guess.
I've been speaking to Lewis Vaughan today. He scored a number of goals for Raith Rovers. He isn't quite their record league goal scorer. Do you know who it is?
Record league goal scorer for Raith Rovers.
He's a relatively well-known pundit in Scotland now.
Oh.
Which I think might give you a clue.
He's a pundit?
Yeah.
A few pundits now. I'm sort of like... When you say pundit, I'm thinking Faddy, but I know Faddy hasn't played for Raith.
Stevie Crawford.
Let's go. Craigan. I've got nothing for you.
Oh my God, he's their top goal scorer.
Yeah. That's him.
You stopped telling jokes, shit.
Where did you get that question?
How did Craig forget that?
Gordon Deal.
Yes, correct. Go and collect your £100 from Rory Payton. It's Gordon Dalziel.
I knew it was, mate.
Gordon Dalziel, no way. I should have got that. That's a bad one.
Are you a bit upset with that?
I'm upset that I've never got that because I've listened to him on the radio talking about you all the time. Ago.
See?
Who the Muppets?
So that was Brian Graham. Muppet. Couldn't get. He's the one that said he should have got you. Rory Payton stole in and got it. I can't remember who it was. Who was
it was like Adam Frizzell.
Stephen Craigan. Stephen Craigan. Because they've said pundit, they've obviously got... What, Stevie Crawford even get mentioned before you? When was the last time Stevie Crawford did any punditry? You're not as famous as
I'll tell you what.
And he said he was relatively well known. By that's me, what threw them, because I said he's extremely well known.
Do you know what they should have asked him as well, right? See if any of them have achieved this. Who was the guy that won it 2 years in a row? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then let's see what they answer.
I've obviously not heard of your work. What's the drama?
Who were they? I don't even know them.
Brian Graham.
He's very lined up. Who else?
Louis Molt and Lewis Vaughan. Right. You can forgive Louis Molt for not knowing your backstory. Brian Graham said it himself. He listens to you talking about yourself all the time.
Louis Vaughan, the boy that plays...
Raith Rovers, that's the point.
That walks by my picture in the hall every single day in his life. Doesn't he know that I'm the top kiddie up there?
Did he touch at Anfield? This is Anfield. They go, this is Gordon.
This is like Liverpool. People don't know who Kevin Keegan Dalglish was, right? That's how bad it is.
Hold on, I'm trying. I think he's the one that got it right.
Lewis Vaughan.
I thought in the video in that clip you heard him saying, go and give Rory Payton your money. Who cares?
Brian Graham, he's forgot me, I think
you might be being unfair to Lewis Vaughan. We think he's the one that got it right.
See the other two numpties. I'll tell you what, many goals he scored, about 10 or something.
Honestly,
championship, I've scored 30-35 per season. These two, I put the two of them together and they still wouldn't beat me.
Good to see it's not got to him though.
Nah, but I'll tell you what, all the best to the boys. Me and the best man win on the night.
Oh dear me. Anyway, Andy has a name for manager of the year, and we're going to hear from him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The question tonight, as sent in by Bob and Shettleston, and thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out, is: excluding Old Firm players, can you name the top league scorers from each of the last 8 seasons? Last season was Van Veen, which you got. You gave me Sam Cosgrove and Liam Boyce, which are also both correct.
I've got one. I know he didn't. He's played for Rangers, but he scored a lot of goals for Kilmarnock. Chris Boyd.
Yes, the 17-18 season, he was top of the pile.
One season wonder, Charles Cook.
Reagan Charles Cook, well done. Three to get.
Gordon's got another one.
Hibs, Christian Doyle.
Oh, that's a good shout. That is a good shout in the 1920 season.
Right, we're struggling.
Two to get, okay. One, I think, is doable for you. The other, no
undoable.
Chance. No chance. Andy's on the line. Andy, thanks for hanging on over the break. Out of those three men we mentioned, manager of the year, who's your winner?
Well, for me, I think that, first of all, thanks for having me on. I hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Now, for me, I would say that Tony Docherty, because to bring, I know he inherited the team, it wasn't him that got them up from the Championship. But
I didn't have many signed, though, to be fair, did he? I think he had to recruit a lot or re-sign some.
And well, this is where I'm thinking, like, whenever Dundee were out for were always, you know, kind of mainstays in the top flight for a while, and then they went through their troubles, and when they managed to get back up, which was kind of a bit of a bit of luck, really, was it not? If I remember, just with the
Queen's Park, they played in the playoffs.
Oh, right, the playoffs.
By Queen's Park.
And when to go from a team from the Championship to end up in a top six finish, at least guaranteed that, and potentially, depending how well they do in the next two games, to potentially get a European spot, I think's amazing, especially for his first managerial job, like, as a senior manager. So I wanted to kind of just see what the panel thought about that, but I had another wee question I wanted
let's
to
do that first. No, Dundee won the championship
last year. It was the last game, I think, second last game, they beat Queen's Park. So
anyway, yeah. Right, does that add to the Tony Docherty case? Not only is it a newly promoted team, is his first managerial job, does that add something to the case?
Yeah, of course. His first job as a manager, as we mentioned, he was assistant with Derek McInnes for many years. But also, when you're a manager, your recruitment is important. They've recruited very well. Your improvement of the current players, he's done that. He's promoted young players. And he's unearthed a couple of diamonds in the likes of Lyle Cameron and Luke McCowan. McCowan obviously come from Man United. Cameron come through the system.
Convinced Owen Beck to come up here.
Yeah,
as
Owen
well.
Beck from Liverpool in terms of the loans. So all of the aspects you look for in a manager, you think, right, okay, how do you improve? Pretty much all of them have been improved and improved in D as a football club. That's the reason why he's rightfully one of the nominees.
It's very hard to disagree, I think, for, and we always mention it, as much as you say, well, he was assistant manager under Derek for a few years, but when you get on your own, it's completely different. Jim will tell you, you're the man, you've got to make the decisions, you sign the players, you set up the tactics. First year up again, the Premier League. If I was Dundee, I'd be looking 10th, 9th, been a good season, and start to build from there. He's got into the top six, playing some good football, introducing some real exciting young players as well. He deserves to be nominated, and I think a lot of people will look to vote for him, but I'll go back to it. I'll stick with McInnes.
Because I get, you know, Dundee are a big club, as you well know, Jim. You don't need me to tell you, of all people. And with it being a city club and stuff, but they haven't managed, as Andy says, it's been a long time since they were the top half of the Scottish Premiership.
Listen, they've been a yo-yo club over the last few years, there's no doubt about that, and that was important. Gordon Dale was just saying there that I think if pretty much every Dundee fan would have taken consolidation this year, just stay in the league. They need to become an established Premier League club for 3 or 4 years so as they can build the club if they get the chance to move to a new stadium. I know we're talking about the new stadium, new training ground, but they need to be in the Premier League.
I mean, it's 10 years since they finished in the top six. It's amazing how quickly that period goes.
It's a long time since that happened, but again, as I said, they've been up and down in between time, so they need to establish themselves as a Premier League side. It'll be even more difficult next year. One, because Ricky Lamb was speaking today to the press saying that there's a bit of a surprise package that might have caught a few people out, but you have Dundee United next year getting promoted, so there'll be derbies, there's four derbies, listen, great games to look forward to, but make it tougher. You would expect Hibs and Aberdeen to improve significantly, on their performances this year. Again, So Dundee have to then raise the bar again. So it'll be tough for Tony, but I think if they can establish themselves as a Premier League club over the next 2 or 3 years in particular, it gives them the chance to build something over a significant period. But he's done an unbelievable job so far in his very short tenure as Dundee manager.
What else was on your mind, Andy?
Yeah, this is a bit of an odd one.
Good.
So when I watched the show through on the YouTube feed, uh-huh. right? And obviously when you go to the adverts, it doesn't play the adverts. It plays this wee loop, and it's like, you know, like just a loop of, you know, fans at a game. Now there is a wee part where I'm wondering whether it's a wee excerpt from the show that's been like stuck over. Now every time it loops, there's this wee guy who goes, "Well," and then the rest of the rest of it is ineligible. You can't even make out what's been said.
Okay.
But then you hear, "I know, Jim." The maximum number of times I've heard it, it was 9 times on an ad break.
I need to be honest and say, this is going to sound quite rude. I have no idea what you're on about, because naturally I don't see the ads on the YouTube, and I believe there are some sort of legal reasons as to why we don't play our radio adverts on the YouTube stream. But you know what? Just phone producer John and he'll try and answer all your questions, because I've got no idea. Well, but thank you very much to Andy.
From the show, I want to know what episode is from, and what was put to what Jim was saying, if it was Jim.
I've got no idea. I've not a clue. Thanks though. I'll try and get to the bottom of it, and I'll let you know. God, Jürgen, that's going to keep you awake tonight.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I'm starting to worry there. I'm going, "Well, hold on, has my mic been left on?"
There is a imagine.
If my mic was left on, gone. I think it's my last shift.
You're gone. You're gone for it.
You don't think. An absolute stoneball certainty.
Thanks to Andy in Bearsden on 01419511025. That is the number you need, so keep the calls. Yeah, you could still probably squeeze one more in, I suppose. Let's quickly hear from, since we've been talking about the manager of the year, let's hear from John McGlynn on how he felt to be nominated for the award.
Yeah, very honoured, privileged to be voted by my fellow managers. So a great honour. So yeah, looking forward to the night on Sunday. As you know, we've got 10 players in the team of the year and 3 up for nomination as well. So yeah, looking forward to that as well. It was great for everyone at the football club, isn't it? Everyone involved, you know, Paul, all the backroom staff, all the players, of course, fans, everyone that's played their part in this.
I mean, you, if he does go up and lift it, you won't be there, of course, because you're going to see Take That instead.
Yeah, I'm going to see Gary and the boys.
Still not regretting that decision?
If Fraser's listening, yes. If Fraser's listening, absolutely no. I'm looking forward to a wee night at the Hydro. It's been a long time coming. I've got to miss you guys. Cause
no, you're not playing golf with Gary, because like, you like a wee name
drop.
It's
not far, though. You could sort of... get a black tie on and nip in. Just get there for a, you know... Want you back for good, and then nip in to catch your song. Clearly,
I used to love the Player of the Year awards, especially when I won a couple of them.
Yeah, I think you could split yourself.
Yeah, but no, it just fell on the wrong date. But Gary won it because I'm booked in, and it's a lot of money, so you can't just give that up, Gordon.
As if you paid for the tickets.
Yeah, as if
you're trying to get anyways. I think that'll be us pretty much done. So we'll round off this teaser, because I want to see if you two can come up with the answers. Remember, the drill on this, if you're new to it, is that you come up with the question, you email it to us at fulltime@clyde1.com, and then we use your question on the show. So that's what Bob and Shettleston did tonight, excluding Old Firm players. Can you name the top league scorer from each of the last 8 seasons? So last season Kyogo was top, but therefore the answer we're looking for is Kevin Van Veen. The season before was Regan Charles Cook. Miss a season: Christian Doidge, Sam Cosgrove, Chris Boyd, Liam Boyce, and then there's another one that you're looking for before that. So 2 to get.
Struggling. Give us a clue, team.
The easier one,
it's be Hibs, isn't it?
Is a Hibs one.
Nah, it's going to be Hibs.
Well, no Derek Ride.
No, way after that.
No Martin Boyle.
No, 2021 season. Scottish.
Got it. Nisbet.
Kevin Nisbet. Kevin Nisbet. Well done.
Yeah.
Which means the last one, and I told you this was the hardest, the 15-16 season.
Who did he play with?
Dundee.
Um, just
spoke about them.
Dundee, come on, John.
What an effort this
club.
Was. By the way, 21 goals for a Dundee side that finished 8th, yep.
Have you played up front for Dundee?
I'm thinking. Eight years ago?
Safe to say he's a centre forward.
You think there's a left back at Dundee that's scoring 21 in a season?
Attacking midfielder.
Started his career as a youth player at Rangers, got kind of 10 appearances or so. Nope. Went to Cowdenbeath.
Hemmings.
Yes. Kane Hemmings.
Yes, well done. Yeah. Never got that.
Well done. Thank you, Jim Duffy. Thank you, Gordon DL. And thank you for listening, tweeting, watching on the YouTube if you're that way inclined, or Facebook or Twitter. Do make sure you're subscribing to that YouTube channel, please. Gordon DL's bonus, which buys him tickets for Take That, depends on it. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. Enjoy the rest of your night. Callum Gallagher's up next, so there's no need to go anywhere. And we will be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly.